Running Buds.
Welcome to the Running Buds podcast. I am your host, Steve McNamee, and my co-host is Charlie Lambrix from Utah. I'm from Ohio. And Charlie, what's up?
Oh, you know, still basking in that PR glow, but not a whole lot. How have you been, Steve?
I've been great. You know, I woke up to, it's been what, is it 2 weeks? It's been 3 weeks since that happened. Is that right? I lost track, to be honest.
We're 3 weeks out. How has your running been going 3 weeks after a race?
Oh, you know, just funky, just sort of trying to break out of that, that hangover. Today I pulled up lame with kind of a little bit of a calf strain. It's just tough to kind of find that new rhythm again. And it was today I got a comment on Strava for that race. And it was kind of like, that's ancient history. Like that was so long ago. I've already forgotten that happened. So yeah.
You already forgot about a 13-minute PR.
It's just, you know, it happens and you move on. How about you? I had my fun with it. It's part of me, but it's now part of my history. I'm trying to find the next thing, which we'll talk about another time. But you know, for now, it's just trying to, you know, you don't have a plan anymore. I don't have the proverbial running gun against my head that today I have to get out and I have to do a long run or I have to do a workout or I have to do an easy run. I don't have to really do anything. I just have to get up, enjoy the weather and podcast. That's where I'm at, Charlie.
And quite a podcast we have today. We have an interview today with none other than Seth James DeMore.
Yeah.
Seth frickin' DeMore. How did we pull that off, Steve?
Seth DeMore is a very online, big online personality, huge following. I'm sure in the millions, right, Charlie?
Hundreds of millions, probably.
Hundreds of millions. I have to tell my dog to sit three times before he even listens to me. And this guy has hundreds of millions of people that listen to every word he says. So this is a big fish and to score an interview with. And Charlie, you got to sit down with him and have a good chat.
Yes, I did. We're exaggerating a little bit, but he is really a who's who in the running community and the running shoe review. This guy gets so many shoes, Steve, that he had to buy or rent a storage facility just to hold all his shoes.
Yeah. Is that something today? I can destroy shoes. He wrecked shoes, as you'll hear, but I aspired to that day.
When you can just cut them in half.
Yeah. Yeah, probably nice shoes, perfectly good shoes. And you know what? I'm just going to saw this thing in half. I love that. I love the idea of it. And that's my new aspiration. No more marathons, no more 5Ks. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to be sent shoes that I can use power tools on.
Beautiful. Well, with no further ado, let's jump to that interview with Seth James DeMore. Please give him a follow on YouTube. You will not regret it.
Running Buds.
Welcome to the Running Buds podcast, Seth. It's an honor to have you here, bud.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's awesome to connect with you and a fellow Mountain Time Zone runner. I'm doing some interviews with somebody in, you know, over in Europe. So shout out to the Mountain Time Zone.
Yeah, when you schedule this, you specifically said Mountain Time. I was like, oh, I know what time that is.
Exactly. You're just a neighbor next door over in Utah, which is a amazing place. Actually, I think I raced there. I guess it would have been maybe 2 years ago, but I love the Salt Lake City area. Great, great place to be a runner.
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. Great trails here. You can get some of that nice tall timber type trail running. We've got very flat in the valley itself.
Yeah.
And then you're a short drive away from just the gorgeousness that is the Red Rocks and Moab and Zion and all that. So I've loved it.
Exactly.
But not in the West, back East a bit. You and I actually shared a course, at least some miles of it. I actually did Glass City Marathon.
What? Oh my goodness. Wow. What a small, what a small world, because it's not a huge, you know, race. That's what brought you out to Glass City?
Well, Glass City is actually, I've only been in Utah for a few years. Partner in crime, Steve, he's in Toledo, and I lived in Toledo for several years.
Okay.
And so that's where I really kind of fell in love with running and started doing marathons, and got pretty involved in the Toledo Roadrunners Club. And it had been 5 years since I had done any of the Glass City Marathon events.
Cool.
But with the lack of live racing, I was supposed to do Boston. That didn't happen. I decided to go back home and do that one. Rocked some Saucony Endorphin Pros and
nice.
ran a PR in the full.
Wow! Congratulations, because it's not that's a big deal. I mean, it's a solid course as far as, I think, what is it, 600 feet of vertical gain for the marathon.
Yeah, I kept telling all my friends, because I actually had two friends from Utah come out, and I'm like, oh, guys, it's pancake flat. Toledo is pancake flat. And they get there, and we're just driving around, and they're like, this isn't as flat as you said it was, you know, especially right near campus, the start-finish area. So
I would agree.
Not quite pancake.
I would agree with your buddies, because it's kind of, at least I vaguely remember it being advertised as pancake flat or fairly flat. And it's, you know, 250 feet for the half marathon. So not, well, congrats nonetheless. That's awesome that you got a PR.
Curvy too, especially the first half, which is the majority of the half marathon course. There's a lot of dips and turns through gorgeous neighborhood, but a lot of turning.
Very much so. Yeah. Definitely not straight as an arrow, for sure.
If you're struggling, it's just like, just get to this next corner. Right. But,
yep.
Yeah. Steve ran it as well. And he ran a 13 minute PR.
Whoa.
Yeah. The guy's insane. Yeah. So, it was, well, the weather was perfect, as you know.
Yeah. It was
pretty close to it.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah, well, congrats. That's awesome. Yeah, I thought they put on a great event. The organizers, and just no complaints for me as far as how the race went off. So
I ran it because I used to live there. Steve ran it because he does live there. Okay. What brought you to Toledo, though?
Well, there wasn't many races available. It just was like every race I was trying to do just kept getting canceled. I was gonna do maybe Pittsburgh. That was canceled. And then, it's, you know, that was one of the main reasons, but, turned out to be, you know, I'd never been to Toledo, so it was cool little downtown area. And I enjoyed exploring a small town America, or small city America, I should say.
Yeah. I mean, Seth, you've raced all over the world. You can go just about anywhere and document it and bring a ton of attention to it. So it was really cool that you came to Toledo and spotlighted this this race that's near and dear to my heart, as well as many others.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's my thing. I'm a big runner, but for your listeners, I'm a big content creator as well. And so that's part of my journey and passion, is to share the running experience through YouTube. And I just love capturing, as I say in the vlog every day, seeking beauty, and you know, the ability to, you know, use different shots, different angles, drone shots. And oh my good, actually the day after the race, I woke up early and went down to the river and flew my drone over the river when the sun was rising, and it was one of the best drone shots I've ever gotten in my entire life. And so that's part of my story as well, is I'm a runner, but I guess I'm a running YouTuber.
You do excellent work. There's no, I'm not even trying to sugarcoat it. I mean, your shots, I'm a Toledo, University of Toledo alum as okay. well. Nice. And the shots you have of campus on race morning, not just the Glass Bowl and University Hall, which is the tower, which gets lots of love, but just going over the Student Union and Centennial Mall, it was just stunning. I think the University of Toledo should tap you and try and buy some of this footage. It was giving me chills.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I know. It was beautiful. It's a beautiful campus, and yep, just beautiful. I love capturing that beauty through cinematography, and then obviously meeting everybody afterwards. Sorry, we probably didn't get to meet because you might have been out there still running, but I think there was at least 30 or 40 people that were at the group, and just really inspiring to meet other runners out there that watch the YouTube channel on a consistent basis.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts. A lot of seemingly high school kids, cross country runners joining you. I think you said it was like maybe your second biggest crowd you've had for one of the group runs, except for New York.
Exactly.
So that's really cool that you had all that support. Yep. And this went pretty well for you. Third overall, not too shabby.
Yeah. Not bad at all. Not a PR as I was shooting for, but you know, learned a lot along the way in the training block, and then you know, learned about scouting courses as well ahead of time. I kind of understand now what 250 vertical feet feels like on a rolly course. And so, no, I'm more of a mountain and trail runner for your listeners. And so I'm trying to run fast on the roads, and it's been a great, I would say, winter of, you know, doing road racing and road training. But I am excited to get back on the trails for some mountain running and ultra running.
That's funny. Yeah, this morning I met up with some friends and got out on the trails, and I think I'm almost positive that's the first time I've been on the trails all of 2021.
Yeah.
And I don't think I was on them in December either, so it has been a while, and I just felt like so refreshed and rejuvenated and excited, you know, probably more so than a long time, and just a casual morning run this morning, finally getting out there.
Yep. Yeah. There's nothing like, you know, the snow melting, and you don't have to wear, you know, 10 layers of clothing or 3 layers of clothing or whatever it is to get out in the winter, get out of the winter running and get into the spring and summer running. I'm definitely ready for summer temperatures and hitting those trails for sure.
Best part is I didn't trip over a stone and knock out my two front teeth.
There you go. Nice.
I fall a lot. I cannot stay on my own 2 feet on the trails.
Oh no.
So one of the things Seth does in his video blogging is he brings content every single day. How many days in a row have you provided content now?
Well, about 5 years, and then 2.5 years of running content.
Wow. And yeah. This isn't like just some quick TikTok video either. You provide like legit advice, motivation, 10 minutes worth every single day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a journey, I'll tell you that much. So it started in 2016, and we're recording this in 2021, and we just passed the 5-year mark, and I've learned a lot, and I've managed to turn it into you know, my life's work, and it's just been an amazing journey. And teaching myself about YouTube, and teaching myself about, you know, running shoes, and oh my goodness. So I've been running for 22 years, and I've had a video camera, you know, basically since I was in seventh grade, and I decided to start documenting some of my story as a runner. And sure enough, you know, the channel just keeps growing and growing. And I think we're, you know, heading toward 135,000 subscribers. So if you are subscribed out there, I do appreciate it. Thanks for watching and hitting that subscribe button. But no, it's just been amazing.
And if you're not a subscriber, guys, I cannot recommend it enough. I just fell down a rabbit hole, being incredibly unproductive at work this afternoon, checking out all these videos. The first thing I had to do was, you review so many shoes. Is there any shoe that you think really kind of falls through the cracks that you don't get your feet in and eventually give a review on? Because it seemed endless.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting you asked that question today, because literally a box was dropped off at my house about an hour ago from FedEx, and it's my first pair of Puma shoes that I've ever tested. So I haven't actually worn them yet, but Puma is actually trying to make a resurgence in their running shoe lineup. They've really been non-existent for a long, long time, and so they're starting to get some attention, and they actually signed on Molly, who's going to be running in the Olympics this summer for the United States in the marathon distance. Molly,
oh, that's huge.
Yeah, Molly Seidel, I believe is her last name. And so Puma, yeah, so I would say that's the brand, at least, that's fallen through the cracks for me. So I'm excited to test out Puma in 2021.
Oh, wonderful. You kind of, one of the things you do, which it's so hard to watch, but it's also, you can't take your eyes away from it. You'll just cut some of these several hundred dollar shoes, these carbon plate shoes, right in half and really kind of dissect them and take a look at the midsoles. How did you bring yourself to do that first time?
Yeah. I mean, it's it wasn't hard for me to do, only because I had already, first of all, I had already put them through the testing and beat them up pretty good. And they were, you know, it's kind of past their prime. Not to mention, I have so many shoes, like one pair, you know, I'm willing to sacrifice some to the blade. What is it? The saw that I use. It's, I forget the name of the saw. It's just a saw that, oh my goodness, I can't believe I can't remember it. A bandsaw, I think, is what it's called. Anyway, it's part of the process, part of creating content on YouTube. You got to get people's attention.
Yeah, it's so cool to actually see the insides, though, and really the guts of the issues and their technology.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we're constantly talking about carbon plate shoes, and I tongue-in-cheek refer to them as cheater shoes, but I have, as you know, come over to the dark side, admittedly wearing the Endorphin Pros. Are all these carbon plated shoes equal, though? Because I swear, and maybe this is my own ego and wanting to believe in my PR is all me instead of the shoes. Are all these carbon plated shoes equal, though? And are they really helping everyone run much faster?
I mean, they're definitely helping people run faster. Like, there's enough data out there from, you know, hundreds of marathons at this point that has shown that the curve has gotten faster from, you know, the elites down to, you know, the middle of the packers. And so they're definitely helping. But I think it's, you know, the carbon fiber plate definitely gets too much credit, and more credit needs to go to the actual midsole foam that is wrapped around the carbon fiber plate. And that's why the ZoomX foam in the Nikes it's hard to compete, because that, you know, they have a patent on that ZoomX foam, and it's just, I think Saucony is really, like, your Endorphin Pros, not to mention the Endorphin Speeds. I think, watch out for Saucony. I think they're making some huge strides, and Asics. Asics is really the Metaspeed Sky and the Metaspeed Edge, which is coming out in 2021. I mean, the Asics midsole foam has made a huge leap forward in 2021. So, yes, the carbon fiber plate inside is good. It's helping. It helps create a little bit of rigidity for the actual foam, so that the foam doesn't feel quite so mushy underfoot. And so, I mean, top three for me would probably be, you know, Nike, and then I'd probably go Saucony, and then Asics, or maybe, yeah, I don't know. Probably Asics and Saucony, I would say, would be really, really close. Anyway, that's just a little few thoughts for you there.
I don't have too much experience in them aside from the Endorphin Pros. In fact, I'm so cheap, I didn't ever plan on buying them. I actually won them from my podcast partner. He put on a contest during the Olympic trials. Who could guess the winning time closest would win their choice of running shoe, up to and including, you know, Vaporflies. But I decided to go with Saucony since that's my preferred brand. And so anyway, that's the only one I have experience in. And as soon as you put them on, I just feel like that bounce on them and like you're ready to run. But I don't feel like any kind of propulsion or whatever. And anecdotally, a lot of my friends that have had the various Nike ones, they all swear that everybody's still just trying to catch up. So it's nice to hear an expert kind of confirm those thoughts.
Yeah. No, it's definitely changed the game a lot in the last, 2 to 3 years.
Do you think that's a good thing? Do you think see this just as the natural development, or
I know it's sad for the world records, but frankly, all the world records at the marathon and half marathon distance were going to be broken eventually. They just were broken quicker and probably, more. Now, I would say it was inevitable. I'd say innovation in all, like right now, I promise in 10 years from now, the Nike Next Percent is going to look like a joke. And there's going to be more innovation, lighter shoes, better foam. So it's only going to continue. Now, World Athletics, which oversees, it's like the governing body that oversees the Olympics and the World Championships, and they create the rules basically for footwear at these events. And so they have put in place rules. For example, you can't stack two carbon fiber plates on top of each other. And I think that's brilliant. I think it's smart. And you can only have 40 millimeters of midsole stack height now. So now it's brilliant because now there's parameters that these companies have to work within rather than just go crazy with all sorts of crazy. So I think the innovation happened. I think it caught World Athletics off guard. And I think they should have been on the ball, five years ago. I think the progress is going to slow down now moving forward in the shoe technology, but it's only going to, it's just like car technology. It's never going to stop. Like it's just always going to be pushed forward. Cause that's what keeps these companies, alive.
Or even closer to home. Like look at a tennis racket from 10 years ago compared to today. It's lighter, stronger. It makes the sport easier. Hockey equipment, everything. It's just for some reason, maybe because there's just such a lack of equipment in running that it gets sort of more emphasized. But yeah, there's always going to be innovation.
Yeah, exactly. So I think anyway, I'll stop there.
Now, Seth, your daily vlogs, they're really great. They give advice, they give positivity. Of course, shoes. Listen, listeners, if there's any shoe you've ever been curious about or have tried and wondering how it stacks up, just put in Seth Damore and then that shoe and you'll find a really great review of it in which there'll be at least 50 miles run. So I can't recommend his YouTube enough. And tell me about DGR Strong.
Yeah, well, the branding is evolving and, the global community of runners that watches the YouTube channel really started saying that. I didn't start it. So it's DGR, Damore Global Running. That's the beauty of YouTube, is that anybody around the world can watch. And it's started to evolve into a really strong, tight-knit running community that's going to turn into other probably like in-person running clubs sooner rather than later. And the strong part, I think it's just like the DGR strong, like, whether it's, you know, waking up at 5 a.m. to get your run in, or as we always say on the channel, turning that doorknob, you know, just inspiring and motivating people to get out the door, you know, every day, or, you know, I like to go run every day, but get out the door, you know, seek beauty out there, get the blood pumping, live a healthy lifestyle. So yeah, DGR Strong, it's really grown organically more so than, you know, me starting this little kind of fun saying that we say on the channel.
Cool. So what is next for you, Seth? What's for both the vlogging as well as your racing? What's on the horizon for you?
Yeah, so we're as far as on YouTube, you know, I'm building a team here in Denver to help with increasing the quality of the running shoe reviews, the race coverage. You know, we're building a website. Shout out to demoreglobalrunning.com for anyone listening. It's slowly evolving, and it's going to be basically the hub for this global running, what we like to say, family. And so there's going to be a community tab there. There, people can look up, you know, running clubs in their various locations around the world. Oh man, always a lot of projects. I'm fine. You know, hopefully, you know, with things getting more normal in the world, I'm excited to do more travel in 2021 and, you know, get out there, meet more people that are part of the DGR family. So I would say those are a little, you know, well, really big goals for 2021.
Do you have a specific race that's your next peak race?
So the next peak race is the Pikes Peak Marathon in August.
Nice. You doing the ascent or you doing the full?
So no, I'll do the marathon. Yeah.
Nice. I did the ascent 2019, and oh my goodness, man, I had no idea what I was getting into, and just looking at your watch and seeing 26, 27 minute miles and knowing you have two more miles to go and there's no trees left around you. I cannot imagine being able to run back down that mountain after ascending it. It was a humbling experience for me.
Yeah, the air gets thin very quickly above treeline, that's for sure.
What is that like coming back down, especially somebody of your caliber where, you know, you're going to have to see 99.9% of the field coming back down, because it is not a wide trail and it's pretty technical and stuff.
It's very first of all, the downhill running is harder on the body. You're pounding, and then you just have to yell. You have to yell the whole way, basically. You have to say, "Here I come." And sometimes the people will see me coming and they'll kind of yell down the line of people. But you have to yell, because it's I actually ran into a lady at an aid station right at Bar Camp last year. So it's not the best situation, that's for sure. But there's not much.
Wait, that's on video, right? That's on video, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. I saw that today. you passed it off pretty smooth, man.
I know. I did a little spin move off of her.
Well, Seth, this has been a true pleasure. Best of luck with your racing and all your vlogging. Hopefully all the running buds can get out there and support you. Guys, you won't regret it. He's got great stuff, great content, beautiful shots, just like it's darn right artwork that he does with these drone shots and tons of positivity. You'll love it. So thank you so much, Seth, for joining us.
You're so welcome, and thanks for having me. And just keep on keeping on out there in Utah, and I'll let you know if I'm ever in your neck of the woods.
Please do. Salt Lake City, baby.
All right. That's awesome. Noah, thanks for doing the interview with me.
Running Buds.
So there he was. Seth Damore, man.
Big time.
So cool. So cool of him to take time for our little podcast. I got to throw out a thank you to Jacob Reeves, a running bud of mine from Memphis, who gave me the heads up that Seth was doing Glass City and actually sent me the link to sign up to get an interview with him. So Jacob definitely facilitated this, and it wouldn't have happened without him. I'm so glad he did, because
Yeah.
Gosh, Seth was great. That was. He was. Did I sound nervous?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You were a disaster. No.
I was nervous.
No, it was a great interview. Like, I hated that I had a scheduling conflict, but I loved that Seth did our humble marathon. Toledo is just one of those sort of forgotten about cities. And when we can have an event that attracts the likes of pros and big names and even online big names like Seth, it's really a cool thing.
Oh yeah. I mean, Toledo, they did what they had to do to get live racing on. And this is one of the benefits. There was a couple big names actually in the race.
Yeah, there was.
What's his name that ran with his girlfriend during the half?
That was Noah Drotty. Like
Noah Drotty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he was going to be racing, but he was pacing his girlfriend. So, but still, that's a huge, like, that's a pro right there doing Glass City Marathon.
And, yeah. And he did it under his own name. He has appeared in Toledo before, and he's been before under an assumed name. So he flies under the radar. But it was Noah Drotty as Noah Drotty.
Does he still like run Noah Drotty speed when he's under a fake name?
No, as far as I know, in Toledo, anytime he's run, it's been to pace his girlfriend, which is a cool thing.
Fun. Yeah, it is. I wish he would just come and light it up one of these days so we could really get that experience.
I wish I would come and light it up one of these days.
stop it.
Don't. No, I mean, all of us. Wouldn't it be nice to spend one day in those legs and just be able to rip off a 450 pace over a half marathon distance or whatever? I don't, you know, whatever they run, it would just be great to feel that feeling one of these times. But
well, Steve, the way you've been progressing and the way technology keeps progressing as well, you know, who knows, you may have a 59 minute half marathon 10 years down the road, just the trajectory you're on, right?
Modern medicine. Yeah. There's probably enough drugs in the world to make that happen, Charlie. Painkillers, drugs, and steroids, HGH, but it's not happened naturally anymore. I'm sure time is not on my side. And but you had a great time too, looking back. I know we've discussed this, but you've got a lot of great years ahead of you.
All right, let's finally close the book on Glass City Marathon with one last thing, because I feel like we need to at least touch on it. You ran a 13-minute PR. How did you do it? What is the biggest, if you could give us a cliff notes of just what your plan or what you think the special sauce was this time that you were able to pull it together so well, besides, you know, cutting that 2.5 miles off when you cut that corner.
Yeah. That did cross my mind. There is a cut through where you can do that. You know, what's funny is that, you know, I mean, you can make a big deal out of a 13-minute PR, but that just means that you were going that much slower the previous marathon. So I think that's the question, is what was going on those marathons. I mean, plenty of friends of mine that were doing their first marathon just ran outstanding times their first time. But I think for me and a lot of people that get into the marathoning, not everybody, but people like me, I just kind of had this fear of 26 miles, and it was a mental thing. I couldn't approach it like I approached even like a 25K, which is still a pretty darn long race, but it was getting past that wall. And then it just became a mental thing where I would just be, I'd run with fear, and you really can't race with any kind of fear. And that's all it was. It was being true to a plan, but anybody can do that. Anybody can be true to a plan or true to a pace, but you cannot run with fear. I mean, would you agree with that, Charlie, in general?
Yeah. I mean,
right.
I think many people will roll their eyes at this, but running truly is about 50-50 physical and mental.
Yeah.
You'll never run faster than you deep down think you can. I absolutely believe that's true. Everyone's got limits, and you can convince yourself you're going to break 2 hours in the marathon like Eliud Kipchoge did, and you can think that all you want, and that's not going to happen. But if you are convinced you cannot run a certain time, deep down, you won't. You never will, because it hurts too much, and it takes too much work to do more than what you deep down think you're physically capable of. So I think there is a lot of truth to that. You really need to work on the mental part just as much as you need to get in shape and get fast.
Yeah, but we can apply that. I mean, you can apply that to 5Ks or really any distance that is just, there's a bugaboo, you know, it's how you approach with just that courage that you can do whatever it is, you know you're capable of. Obviously, I'm never going to break. I mean, I'm never going to be a world-class like a 5K, but I've been able to, you know, shave time off of 5Ks here and there, just simply, you know, going for it a little bit more and a little bit more. And that applies to a lot of people distances that, you know, you have a stepping stone effect to how you progress through these races. And in my case, it was the marathon, and I just needed a bigger stepping stone than most people. So that's what leads to a 13-minute PR in my case.
So let me ask you this. You ran a 304 marathon. 5 years ago, when you and I were still burning up the trails together in Wildwood in Toledo, when I still lived in the area, you had not broken, 320 maybe at that point?
No, I'm sure not 320. 5 years ago, I would have to look that up. But I mean, I've been hovering around the mid 320s, honestly. I mean, I've gotten under, I approached 320. I had a 317 a couple years ago, but 5 years ago, definitely I had not broken 320.
And I'm willing to bet, and you can confirm or deny, you probably thought 315 was the best you could possibly do.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So was it, yeah. Who was your coach or the guy that made the plan for you?
Well, this time, yeah, the plan I followed was devised by a friend of mine, Bob Masters, a local coach who has a great influence on a lot of people in this part of the world. And it was great having Bob as a resource that you could reach out to, you know, unlike you follow other plans and you just go through the motions. And Bob was there through like a minor injury where I had to miss a day. And he kind of told me how to get through that and get back on track. So, I mean, little things like that were nice. And again, that's more the mental part of it is getting to that start line, having done everything you can mentally to believe in yourself, where even to the point where I was driving to the race that morning, you know, I was convinced this is going to be difficult, but I can do it. I've done everything I need to do. I've proven to myself that this is going to happen, where in previous marathons, I would be on my way to the race kind of like, well, let's just see what happens, you know, and hope for the best. And that lack of confidence is not a good thing when you're heading out to do a marathon.
So when did the switch get flipped? Because you had a couple, several PRs, almost in every distance leading up to the marathon. You were running a PR in what, these past 2.5 years. Did this confidence just sort of slowly build? I know you made some changes to your diet, which you slimmed down a little bit. And then, of course, the shoes help. They don't help 13 That's minutes right. in a marathon, but I'm just wondering if this was just a gradual change, or if, I don't know, did you watch some documentary that, you know, made you say, you know what, damn
you know
it.
What is that
SNL sketch where he's looking in the mirror I'm good enough. I'm smart enough.
Oh, and gosh, yeah, Stuart Smalley. You know, maybe gosh, a little bit of Stuart it, Smalley was going me. On. You know what? Funny enough, you mentioned I did have a string of PRs in the fall, and I'd say maybe I had a half marathon PR at a race called Churchill's here in town, and I think when I ran that, because I was in so far over my head early in the race. And it was kind of like I just kept running one more mile, and kind of not knowing how I was doing it. But when I got to the end and ran a decent PR at the half marathon pace, you know, it just shook me up. Like, you know, I've got to rethink the marathon. It, you know, I had that belief in myself at that point that, you know, if I can do this in the half marathon, I can slow down quite a bit and still run a huge PR in the marathon. And I mean, it is, it's those little things, like I said earlier, it's stepping stones. And that's really one of the stepping stones, is you start proving to yourself in other ways that you can accomplish something that perhaps you thought was impossible or you just didn't have in you. And in that case, you know, like I said, I opened my mind. I opened my heart to that possibility that this can really happen. I can beat mid 320s that I'm seem to be stuck at. I can take the next step because I've proven it to myself already. Now I just have to go out and do it.
All right. Well, I didn't run nearly as much of a PR as you did, but I did.
So I got to throw it to you. Like when I looked at the overall results and you were like right up there, do you know where you were overall?
I came in 20th overall, which is really kind of nice, because if you come in 19th overall, you can say you came in top 19 and people are like, okay, dude, you could have just said top 20. But coming 20th, you know, you say top 20, and I could imply that was like, you know, 16 or 17, but
yeah,
it's all still just top 20. And, you know, it's funny though, is when I ran my last PR, it was also Glass City, and it was 5 years prior. I ran 2.5 minutes slower, and I came in 9th.
Wow.
So that just shows how competitive Glass City was this year, and, you know, the lack of race, a lot of talent came. But 2016 was also an interesting year, though, because, of course, we had the Olympic qualifier earlier in the year. So that kind of took out some of the local talent who would have probably finished ahead of me. But that year, 2016, and I'm going out on a limb here, but I think I'm pretty confident I came in 2nd overall, professionals. I think I was the 2nd, like, amateur people that,
Wow. Yeah.
So it just shows, and this year I came in 20th, and I think I was 20th amongst non-professionals, because that's all there were this year. So it was just I think a lot of people really were able to, like, maybe take all the frustration from the pandemic and lockdown to run.
Only game in town.
But nobody was
doing Boston. Nobody was doing any of the other spring races either, Charlie. I mean, it was the only game in town, meaning, you know, in this side of the world, it was the only marathon that a competitive runner would want to do. So, yeah, you definitely were up against some talented runners. But even to get top 20 is incredible.
Thank you. And I'd say we had the conversation before, because you were going with somebody. You were going with a very structured plan that Bob Masters put together for you. And you offered it to me, and I was like, no, thank you. And I had said on the podcast earlier, it's like, I know what I got to do to run faster. It's just a matter of doing it. And I actually was able to do that this time, and I think it made all the difference. And for me, I'm not saying this is for everyone. This is not an advice podcast, but this worked for me from both able to do it and feel confident going into the race. I run as much as I can, lots of miles, almost every single day. I had 50 straight days of running in this training cycle, and then probably a grand total of only 4 or 5 days off amongst January, February, and March. I was running almost every single day. I was running doubles a few times a week. So I was getting 9 or 10 runs per week. The thing is, though, I would only do one specific workout each week. Every Wednesday, I'd do a warm-up mile, 5 miles at tempo, cool-down mile. And then on the weekend, my long run, I would just try and throw in some tempo miles within that. Totally unstructured, totally just when you feel like it, do it. Maybe one, maybe two. Maybe we'll finish these last 3 miles of this 20-mile run at marathon pace, just keeping it very light and whatever I felt like doing. And then everything else was just take it easy. It was a lot of miles, but I only had the 2 real workouts per week. And that just made it sustainable for me. If I was running harder or didn't have those hard workouts to kind of allow myself to take it easy. And that last mile, that fifth of those 5 tempos, I would often find myself thinking, dude, this is really, you're only doing a small percentage of your total miles hard. Let's see how fast you can do this one. And I would sometimes finish, have that fifth mile be like faster than my 10K PR pace, just because I knew I'm going to take it easy the next few days after this. This is time to push. So push. When it's time to run hard, run hard. When it's time to run easy, run easy. And that worked for me. Oh, plus I had the cheater shoes. So
and the cheater shoes, for sure. Something to be said, though, about the less is more approach, and not by mileage, but speed, for sure. Really, I think that was the big difference for me, was I really took away speed from every run except the workouts. I got rid of those miles that were kind of in between a slow run and the, you know, the marathon pace. So I was either very slow or at marathon pace or significantly faster, but I guess I'd call it junk miles. I try to get rid of junk miles.
That's what they call it. Some people think junk miles are just any slower pace, but really I think the true definition of junk miles are those in between marathon pace and easy pace. So your easy pace, suppose your marathon pace is 7 minute miles. Anything faster than 7 minute miles is of course going to be beneficial. That's, you know, tempo workouts and speed work is anything faster than race pace. Easy miles are supposed to be at least a minute per mile slower. So 8 minute miles plus, that's your easy runs or your long runs, right?
Yeah.
Where you get in trouble is when you're running 7:25s, 7:15s, where you're not giving yourself the rest to do your next workout, but you're also not going fast enough to really benefit. That is the junk or trash miles or whatever you want to call it. So, and I think it took me a long time to learn that.
Me too. And that in my case, now others I know get away with that and they do just fine. They do great. So more power to them. But in my case, I was, in retrospect, running myself into the ground, you know, well ahead of weeks and weeks away from the marathon. I was just running myself into exhaustion that I was never going to recover from. You know, I never, and I'll even say this another way, that this is the first marathon cycle that I peaked on the day of the marathon. That was my best run. Every other time I can point to other runs or even tune-up races that were better than the marathon that I was shooting for, which completely destroys the whole notion of a, you know, a training cycle. You train for that day, that particular week, and it's a build. And if you don't build, then what's the point? And that's what I was missing out on. That's what I finally, Charlie, got right after all these years of running these stupid marathons. So.
And I think I missed that. I think I would have done better had the race been a month earlier. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Well. I was really doing well And that 3 weeks out, I tried to do a long run that finished. I tried to do 20 miles with the second 10 at marathon pace.
Mm-hmm.
I got 6 in at marathon pace before I realized it wasn't going to work. Struggled through 7 and 8 and really, really was like post hitting the wall that last 9 or 10. And I think I was still sort of recovering from that, even though it was 3 weeks out come race day. I think I was a little too worn out coming into the race. So that's the fun thing about this too. There's so many variables at play in getting in the best shape you possibly can at the right time. So
it is.
Maybe I'll be able to do that in a future race.
I got one more thing on this, and I have to, this isn't just me. This is my running group. I don't know how we pulled this off, but week after week, we could not complete a long run without multiple emergency poop stops. I mean, among all of us. And the day of the race, I don't think anybody I know stopped to poop or pee or anything. I had to pee on the line. Wait. Which I never did, but nobody stopped.
You know who?
No. Nope. We have
a running friend who it's like, it'd be odd if he didn't at this point, right?
I don't think he did. I don't think I came out and asked, but based on his amazing time, I don't think any of us did, which is just incredible. I mean, I think that is almost as big of an accomplishment as the race itself, is the fact that among my group, if you add up 26 miles toward or times what I mean, what, 10 of us, you know, 260 miles run without a emergency visit to a porta potty. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Statistically, I would call it almost impossible, but it happened. That magical day, it happened. And I don't know how we trained for that either. I don't know what training, it was just some sort of kismet, some just alignment of planets, stars, everything came into play perfectly that day, and no bathroom stops.
Thank goodness.
And you either, right? I mean, you, I don't know that anybody from your group that came, Melcher or, Scott, I don't think they stopped, did they?
I think Melcher had some GI issues. Yeah, actually.
Oh, okay. That's so, almost perfect.
Almost perfect. Right. But we, Steve, we have talked about Glass City now for months, because when we both signed up, we
said with ancient history. Yeah, we're still talking about it.
So I think we can listen. Audio part. Close the book on Glass City Marathon 2021.
We're ready to move on. Let's move on.
All right, I've got an email I want us to talk about. This is from Ryan. Hey, Running Buds. First of all, best of luck with the. We're not even talking about that race anymore. Have great races. Okay. Secondly, and more importantly, what's with all the negativity on ultra marathons?
Yeah. What is up with our negativity?
Why are we
so negative, Charlie? Go ahead.
I didn't think we were that negative, but they are only slightly more crazy than running 26.2 miles. Yeah. I don't need to go through all the wonders of running ultras here, but come on. Let's show some love for the ultra distances. Ultra marathons have many of the same things that people love about marathons, just on a larger scale.
Okay. Fair point.
All right, Ryan, I want you and every dirty, smelly, hill-walking, double cheeseburger-eating weirdos that run ultras to listen up, okay? If this was on video, I'd be looking right in the camera. We respect you. We respect you. We love you. But you annoy us. Okay? You annoy us. Because so many of these trail runners, ultra marathoners, they go out of their way to tell you how much they dislike running on the road and how it's just the trails for them. You couldn't pay me to run on the road. All the drama with their belt buckles. And I one time, Steve, I was at a ultra marathon festival of events, and there was a 100-miler there, and these group of guys are talking about the different 100-milers they did. And I asked, well, did anybody do the 100-miler here? and they all scoffed because it wasn't challenging enough terrain for them to run 100 miles.
Yeah, come on.
So we respect them, but you can be a bit smug, a little condescending, and they're sort of riding on their high horse a bit. So this is a place for, you know, we respect you, but, you know, we're just trying to give it back a little bit because you guys think you're so high and mighty. And honestly, I'm glad ultras exist because they give slow people with too much time on their hands something to do. And
it's that we just don't agree with the choices you've made, and that makes you different than us. And it's okay. You can make those choices, but don't expect us to bend. We have our thing. You have your thing. Let's just let's agree to disagree.
Actually, I think I'm almost positive I'm doing an ultra next year. I'm gonna do that 50 miler. I'm going full crunchy, dude. Give me the granola bar.
Okay, yeah, and you know what? And Des Linden, who is one of us, just set the women's world record at 50K, which is arguably it is considered an ultra, but come on, it's a marathon with a cool down. So I don't know. 50 miles, Charlie. Yes, you will be one of them once you do that. 50K runners that consider yourself ultra running folk, you are not. You're marathoners that just kind of go a little farther. Don't play all high and mighty with your 50K.
Can we agree that Des Linden is our favorite?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anybody we put at? Okay.
No,
I think we're gonna. I think we're gonna close this one out with a little homage to her. Are you familiar with the artist Anne Peebles?
I certainly am not.
She has a song called 99 pounds, and I just looked it up. Des is only 97 pounds. Maybe she's 99 now that she does ultras, though. You need a little more heft to do that kind of distance.
For our listeners in Britain, pound is a form of weight measurement. I know in England you spend pounds and you weigh yourself in stones, but we're talking about 99 pounds. Of it's weight.
It's about seven stone.
Okay. Is it really?
Yeah. I just looked it up.
That's conversion.
And I don't think you say stones. I think you say stone, right? Seven stone. Anyway, Anne Peebles, 99 pounds.
It's the colonist in me.
We are the Running Buds. You can follow us on Facebook at Running Buds Podcast. We're also on Strava at Running Buds Podcast. And you can also send us an email. runningbudspodcast@gmail.com. Okay, 99 pounds by Anne Peebles. Till next time, thank you for listening.
See you soon.
Running Buds.